Welcome back for another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We're in season 3, episode 19, and I call this one Going in Circles, and I'll explain why after we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for this day. Thank you, Father God, for each and every ear that is listening, Father. Father, I just pray for every location that is picking up the sound of my voice and that they hear your word through me, Father God. Let your word fall on good ground. Father God, I just invite you in right now. You and your Holy Spirit, Father God, let us not quench your Holy Spirit. Have your way. Lord, just take over this podcast like you always do. This is your space to speak, Father God, and we welcome you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I just, first, let me say yay and congratulations to every educator who has already celebrated the last day of school. Woo woo. Woo, officially summer break. For those of you who have to keep going a little bit longer, I am praying with you and for you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, give them the strength to endure to the very end. Because listen, that last week of school is no joke, okay? And I don't know which one is the hardest, high school or elementary school, because listen, woo, child, it's probably elementary school. I've done elementary school, and that was always something there, okay? It's something. Bless every educator right now, Lord. A lot of people don't realize what we go through, what we deal with on a daily basis, and sometimes it's frustrating because people make assumptions about us as educators. Oh, y'all get 2 months off. This is old us because we were able to fit a whole year's worth of work into 10 months or 9 months, however long it is, okay? We were able to fit a whole year into that a condensed amount of time. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot on us, but hey, we're at the end, or either you're finished and enjoy your break, get some rest, rejuvenate, okay? Stay hydrated. You can finally go to the bathroom as much as you want. But yeah, with that being said, you know, it was hard this week to wake up and like just get myself to work, because my body kept going, it's summer break. And I was like, no, it's not. We got 3 more days. We got 2 more days. We got 1 more day to go. And we had graduation. I went to graduation both nights. I had a cousin graduate from the rival school, which actually is my alma mater, but hey, I work at the rival school. But yeah, so I went to graduation both nights, and you know, it's always bittersweet to see high school graduations, because you, as a teacher, especially to a lot of students, I can't even say to a lot of students. I mean, yeah, you have a lot of students in high school. You have like maybe 70 kids that you teach throughout the day or more. And when you get to see them walk across the stage and you think about how far they come, like I see them their sophomore year. So sophomore year, they still are acting like freshmen in a way. I don't get to benefit from the maturity that happens during the summer when they come back as juniors. I don't get to have that. I get them when that last kick of immaturity shows up sophomore year. You know how you're going through changes, no matter what the change is, like you want to be better or whatever like that, and you are doing so good so far, but it's like right before the full change comes in, you have like one streak of how you used to be. That's what I get. I get that last streak in sophomore year. And some of these kids, I'm like, now watch you come back and you're a grown adult. Like maturity wise, you're a grown adult in the fall. And I don't get to see that. I had to deal with, you know, spitballs, spitting popcorn kernels on the floor. Like, you know, just doing dumb stuff. But, to see them walk across the stage to begin their life, like it's a beautiful thing, you know. But knowing I won't see them, knowing they won't come asking me for snacks in my room in the fall, it's sad. But, you know, with every ending, there's a new beginning. So, yeah. But it just kind of dropped on me the scripture that we're going to read from Deuteronomy. And I'm going to read the Message version. Actually, no, let me start with King James. I just like to start with King James because I feel like a lot of people neglect the King James version so much because it's hard to read. But it's like, that's why you pray before you start reading. You say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so I may behold wonderful things out of your law. That's all. You just pray. Ask God to explain it to you through his Holy Spirit. And he will. But Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Now I'm going to read out of the Message version. It says, then we turned around and went back into the wilderness, following the route to the Red Sea, as God had instructed me. We worked our way in and around the hills of Seir for a long, long time. Then God said, you've been going around in circles in these hills long enough. Go north. And Amplified version, I just felt led to re-amplify, says, then we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, just as the Lord had told me. And we circled Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. Turn northward. And like I said, it's been a hectic week, so I hadn't done my part. I usually take notes and stuff. And I didn't do that. I didn't do it. So forgive me if it's like delays and stuff, but I'm just going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on this. Compassed. In the King James Version, it says compassed. Compassed means to go around something in a circular course or motion. But it also means to surround or enclose on all sides or contrive to accomplish something. And contrive means to create, manage to do something. It says create or bring about by deliberate use of skill or artifice. And it also says manage to do something foolish or create an undesirable situation. Yeah, that makes sense. Manage to do something to create an undesirable situation. That's what compass can also mean. So we're going to take going around the circular course because it was a mountain. But I think about graduation and it's like, I know, I'm going to tell you, like, I did not like high school. And I know I mentioned that, of course, on here before. I didn't like high school because I was picked on, like, every day. And the crazy thing is we have our 20-year reunion. I'm still, like, on the fence on whether I'm going or not. But, oh, that's a story for another day. But the thing is, when you're in high school as a teenager, I know for me, it felt like it was never going to end. And that's what was so irritating about high school is that, oh my gosh, I have to keep waking up and going to the same place every single day. But I specifically remember at the beginning of my senior year, when school got ready to be back in session, my mother, she told me, she said, enjoy this last year because this is the last time you'll be with all of these people ever. Like, this is the last time you'll see all of these people. And she is absolutely right. Like, I remember graduation. I was sitting there in graduation and, like, the realization of, wait a minute, it's really over. Like, I really won't be coming back here anymore. And when graduation was over, I ended up attending college here when it was the community college. Now it's a 4-year college. But I attended college here, and me and one of my classmates, I had a good bit of classmates who went to the college here after graduation. We had fun. We had fun learning, sure. But I remember she and I, because we were teammates on the basketball team, volleyball team, track team. So we were hanging out and stuff, and she said, let's go see our teachers. And I said, okay. Mind you, like, I think it was maybe at the end of the day, and this is before high security and stuff like that at the schools. This is before all of that started kicking in. I mean, we did have school resource officers, but it wasn't as heightened. The level of security wasn't as heightened as it is in today. Because, I mean, this is like almost 20 years ago. I can't believe I'm saying that. But we went back to our school. I still remember we went back through the back doors of the school. And this is the old Brunswick High. This is the old Brunswick High. We went back and we walking down the hall waving at the teachers like, hey. And we were expecting them to be happy to see us. And they were looking at us like, why are you here? Go to class. Like, don't y'all have classes? And we were just like, man, we were looking at the kids. And, you know, the seniors knew who we were because we had just left. But everybody was kind of looking at us like, why are y'all here? You know, because we got there like right when the bell rang to dismiss for the day. I think it was like a Friday afternoon. And the teachers was like, why are y'all here? Don't y'all have something better to do? Y'all wondering how? Go to college. And I never went back after that because it was like, wow, you really can't go back. Like, you really can't go back to what you were doing. You know what I'm saying? And like, I remember my senior year in high school. And we had pep rallies. And at our pep rallies, we would see people who graduated like a year or two before us. And we're like, oh my gosh, like, how lame are they? Why are you at a high school pep rally? But I understood in that moment when I went back to see my teachers, I'm just like the people who were coming to the pep rallies. And I understood why they did it. Because it was something about, it's so hard to let go. You get so used to a routine. You get so used to what you were doing. That was your life. That was your norm. Okay, wake up, go to school. You sit in class all day. You know, you joke and you play around with your friends or whatever. And then you go home. That was my norm. And it was broken because of something new. I had to do something different because I had outgrown where I was. And I can't stay there. Oh, whew. Wow. Wow. Like, you have outgrown where you are and you can't stay there anymore. It's time for something new. And oh my gosh. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Like, y'all, I see it. Like, it's, you can't stay there anymore. You can't keep doing the same thing. When you get out of that cycle, it says in Deuteronomy, it says we were following the way the Lord told me. And then after we went around the mountain for many days, they weren't going around that mountain, Mount Seir for, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Seir. They were going around that mountain for a while. It said many days. We don't know how long. I mean, I don't know how long. I'm pretty sure there are biblical scholars who can tell you exactly how long. Good for you. I just know he said for many days. It was a while. But then the Lord spoke and said, you have gone around this mountain long enough. Go north. You've been doing the same thing over and over again. You've been doing this. You've been in that sin long enough. It's time to come out. You've been and bitterness long enough, it's time to come out. You've been in anger long enough, it's time to come out. You've been in hatred long enough, it's time to come out. It's time to come out and go north. It's time to come out and do something different. You cannot continue to go around this mountain. Whatever the mountain is, you can't do it no more. Have you ever gotten out of sin and then you try to go back in it and it don't... Y'all, have you ever tried to go back to the sin that you got delivered from? And then, like, when you get done with your sin, you kind of go, wait a minute. That's not the same as it was back when I was... That's because you didn't know any better. That was your lifestyle. That was your lifestyle. That was the only life you knew, was that sinful life. But now that you have come into the fullness of Jesus, now that you have come into his marvelous light, why you can't go back to darkness. You can't go back to that. There's nothing to go back to. Just like those high school graduates all over the country, all over the world, it's graduations. Once you walk across that stage with that piece of paper in your hand that has your name on it, you can't go back. I'll say in college, you can go back. You're going to pay some more. But high school, you can't go back to high school. That's over with. That's over with. And what the thing is, in those situations, there are some seasons where the seasons were good seasons. You know, seasons of triumph, seasons of celebration. But you still can't go back to that season. You'll have another season like that later on down the line. But that particular season, you can't go back to that season. Like the season of being a child. Nobody can go back to that season once it's over. Once you become an adult, you got to put childish things away. You can't go back to being a child once you become an adult. I'm pretty sure all of us would go back to being... Who wouldn't? Go living back in my mama's house where I don't have any bills to pay and wake up to eggs and bakey. That's bacon, okay? I say bakey. Like, waking up to breakfast in the mornings. You know what I'm saying? Like, who wouldn't want to go back to that? But you can't. You can't go back to that. You can't go back to college. I have gone back to college, but what I'm saying is, that undergrad life can't go. You can't be an undergrad again and have the same experience that you had the first time. Mm-mm. You can't do it. The experiences that you have at that particular time period is for that particular time period. I remember there would be moments where when I was in college here and we'd be having events and things of that nature. And it's almost like I would have a surreal moment, a surreal realization of the moment. And it's literally like things would slow down and I would just kind of step back from myself and just watch the room, watch the expression of everyone and just kind of try to imprint those things in my mind, because I knew at that specific time period, that was one of those times that I would never be able to relive again. I tried to memorize and record in my mind the laughter of friends, the jokes that were told, because I knew that was just one of those things I would never be able to relive again. And it's hard. It's hard trying to move on to go to the next season of your life when you're still holding on to the last thing. That's why I believe the Bible speaks of when you put your hand to the plow. I have to look this up because I can't see it off the top of my head. Says, and Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Because what you're looking back for, he has given you a great work to fulfill. He has given you a great work to fulfill. I believe that's what the plow represents, the work that God has given us. But if we're continuing to look back into that old lifestyle, you can't get his work done. You can't fulfill your purpose. You can't fulfill the plans in your life that he has given you. Like, he has plans for us, plans to prosper us, plans that aren't evil, to bring us to an expected end. He has plans. And if we're so busy being consumed with what we used to do, we're not going to get those plans done. Just like Lot's wife. Everybody likes to reference her for conversations like this. And it's almost like I can see a positive and a negative of her. I won't say a positive. I can see why I can understand why she looked back. But I can't fully understand why she looked back because I'm not in her position. And I'll explain. Lot's wife, if you don't know, let me get the verse. Because I want to make sure, and you can do this study on yourself by yourself. Genesis 19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. And what happened is that was their departure from Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sin full of iniquity. It was a lot of homosexuality going on, and amongst other things, I'm pretty sure it was bestiality. It was a lot of stuff. And to be honest, we see a lot of this stuff coming out now in the news media outlets. So history repeats itself. It's just a different face on it, different name, but it's the same sin. And if we go back, Abraham was visited by the Lord, by Jesus, which that was a Christophany, said angel of the Lord, and Abraham was trying to negotiate with the Lord a little bit about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, because Jesus was like, look, we about to go take the city out because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the sin, and it's gotten to be ridiculous, okay? So we're going to go take it out. And Abraham, his nephew Lot, was there. Now, if you jump back further to where we get introduced to Abraham, he has a nephew, Lot. Well, I can't get into all of that right now, but okay. To summarize real quick, Abraham and Lot had to split up because the Lord was prospering Abraham, and because Lot was attached to Abraham, he was being prospered too. So, there was land coming up, and the Lord told Abraham, you take this and give, let Lot choose, because he's going, whatever. Okay, like I said, go read it, because I can't get into that right now. That's going to take me somewhere else. But Lot chose to go. He pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Okay. Now, after that, we find out how bad Sodom and Gomorrah has gotten when Jesus shows up and he's talking to Abraham. So Abraham is trying to negotiate with the Lord, like, look, if you can find 50 righteous, will you not destroy the city? And the Lord's like, okay, if I can find 50 righteous. Y'all, when you negotiate, you don't negotiate against yourself. And that's what Abraham was doing. He started with 50 and he started backing down till he got to 10. And he got to 10. The Lord said, if I could find 10 righteous, then I won't destroy the city. There was not 10 righteous people there. Okay. And that just goes to show you, it was not 10 righteous. And it says, when the angel of the Lord showed up, Lot was in the gate of the city, vexed. He was vexed. His soul was vexed by all of the sin that was going on in that place. Lot had two daughters who were still virgins, but they were married. Okay. Let you sit on that one for a minute. And then he had his wife. So it was like the angels showed up and the men came to Lot's house like, you need to bring them out here so we can know them. And I ain't talking about we gonna have a conversation over some Starbucks coffee. No, we want to know them in a biblical way. Like, we want to have sex with them. Like, they didn't know they were angels. It don't even matter. They were just like, bring them out here. Like, they were just so full of lust, consumed with the sin. Like, it was crazy. So it got lit. All right. Like, literally, city was on fire. Raining fire and brimstone from heaven. See, nobody wants to talk about this stuff in the Bible because it hurt people's feelings. The Lord delivered me from fornication. Like, I get it. Like, you don't want to keep hearing all of that stuff about, but guess what? If you don't do it, it's not gonna hurt your feelings. Like, that's just it, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not who I am anymore, because the Lord has delivered me and he is continuously delivering me. Because listen, whoo, child. But see, when you get so deep in sin, when you get so deep into that lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes and the pride of life, that is one of the most, actually, I think that is the most prideful sin ever. And there is, and let me just say this, there is no category of sin. Sin is sin, period. There's no big sin. There's no little sin. But everybody, and I get why people who participate in that sin, they get so mad at Christians, because that's all you hear is homosexuality is a sin. And nobody, it's like, we get it. I understand why you get mad, but you got to also understand that that is an abomination to God. That is an abomination to him. And there are certain sins that are abominations. They're still, it's not like a category. It's just, the Lord said it's an abomination. I'm just telling you what's from the Bible. Like, you don't have to like, you can get mad at me if you want to, but it's the Bible. But what is happening now is people want to take stuff out of the Bible. This is why you are having these homosexual, quote unquote pastors and preachers. Cause I'm sorry. Like, no, you want to have them get in the pulpit and preach that homosexuality is okay and all of this stuff. And that is wrong. That is not of God. It is like, I pray that you find Jesus, the real Jesus, and not the one that you made up, because you do realize what's going to happen to false prophets and false pastors. Like, you do realize what's going to happen, because it's in Revelation. Y'all, you can't take out what you don't want to acknowledge out of this Bible, because the Bible also says if you take stuff out of the Bible, he's gonna take your name out of the book of life. I want my name to be in there. If you add stuff to the Bible, he's gonna add to you the plagues that came from it. You want to have boils? Like, do you want frogs and stuff like that at your house? Because I don't. You see what I'm saying? Like, don't do that. It's like real simple. Like, get saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, turn away from the sin, and do what he tell you to do. Be obedient. But to be completely honest, let me just be completely honest. Let's just simplify this even more. It's disobedience. All sin is disobedience. Think about it. I can't say this enough. Sin is just disobedience to what God said. If God said don't do that, why are you doing it? It's disobedience. That is the root of sin. It don't even matter what it is. If God said go right and you go left, you're in disobedience. So therefore you are sinning. Plain and simple. We slap another name on it. We call it homosexuality. But all it is you don't want to get married to somebody of the opposite sex. That's disobedience. Period. You don't want to wait till marriage to have sex. That's disobedience. You don't want to be nice to that person. That's disobedience. You don't want to tell the truth. That's disobedience. We call it lying. We call it fornication. We call it hatred. We call it homosexuality. We call it all these cutesy names, but all it is disobedience. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's disobedience. You just being disobedient. You're rebelling. You're rebelling. That's all. Okay, so I ain't got to call it homosexuality. I'm just going to call it you being disobedient. You're disobedient. I too am disobedient at times. I don't live in the disobedience. That's the thing. I don't live there anymore. I used to have an address in disobedience. I don't anymore. Now I mess up and I go to the neighborhood and drive through, but I take my behind back home. I can't live there no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, and once you move out the neighborhood, you can't go back. That's, and there we go. And there we go. And that's where Lot's wife is like, they're leaving out of disobedience. God saved them. Oh man, it's like Jesus showed up and gave them the grace and covered them to get out. Whoo, y'all. If you got out of the sin alive by the skin of your teeth, as the old folks say, it's some sin that you part. It's some sin that you participated in that nobody will ever know about unless you tell them. I know you going, ouch. I know you going, ouch, because I felt that when I said it. It's some sin that you have participated in that nobody will ever know. That will go with you to your grave. It's some sin that you have participated in nobody will ever know about. Only you and God. He got you out of that. You weren't brought to public shame with that sin. Can you imagine if everybody would have found out about that sin that you were participating in? And how detrimental it would have been to your family, to your finances. What would happen? But God covered you. Jesus covered you with his love, because love covers a multitude of sin. Thank you, Father God. He covered you. Why are you going? So Lot's wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And people always are coming at her like, I've always heard it from preachers like, well, you know, they're just like really hard. But it's like, can we show that woman some grace? I mean, yes, she messed up. She really messed up. Like the Lord said, don't look back. Just keep going. Don't look back here. There's nothing back here for you. But how many times have we looked back and we didn't die? How many times have we gone back and we didn't die? And we judge this woman so hard. Like she shouldn't have looked back. That's her fault. First of all, let's look at this. When you have been living in sin your whole, she's been in Sodom and Gomorrah for I don't know how long. And then all of a sudden, we got to go. What about my friends? She could have had family back in the city. She could have had family. She could have had stuff that she left in her house. Like, oh my gosh, did I forget? I forgot to get this. I mean, how many times we left keys in the house, or we left our cup, our cell phone in the house, and we got to turn back to go get the phone. We got to turn back to go get stuff. But that's why the Bible says when you put your hand to the plow, don't go. What you looking back there for? When Jesus was calling his disciples, one said, okay, I'm coming, but let me go say goodbye to my father, or they're burying my father. I can't remember exactly. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You come on now. That's the thing. When the Lord calls you, you got to go. You can't look back. I just, when I look at her life, it makes me think of myself, because there were times like when I was going through, I mean, and to be honest, our souls are saved. Our spirits are saved. When you get saved, your spirit is saved, but your soul is being saved, like being delivered, being saved, because it's like a daily thing. You can't just, your spirit, once you accept Jesus Christ, your spirit, you, God forbid, you die instantly, like after you get saved, your spirit goes to heaven. You know, it's just, your soul is where your emotions and everything like that are. So it's like a constant battle with your soul, your spirit, and your flesh. because your spirit is saved. Your spirit has accepted Jesus. You accepted Jesus. Your spirit is saved. It's just, you got to deal with this flesh, and then you got all your emotions and everything like that. It's, y'all, it's ghetto. It's really ghetto. Read Romans 6 and 7 and 8, because you're going to see how ghetto it really is. Paul was telling the truth on them things. I do the things that I would not, and I don't do the things that I should do. It's like, I understand it. I feel you. I remember it was like, because when that's your way of life, it's so hard to let go, because that was your norm. You have practiced your flesh into doing those things, into going through the motions. That's why sexual sin is so hard. If you are a virgin, stay a virgin. Yeah, I get it. You might be a 50-year-old virgin. Don't you come out of that. Listen, don't you come out the house. Don't come out the house. Because I, to be honest, if you made it past 30 and you're still a virgin, don't you do nothing. Because I feel like it will be worse for you at this age than if you would have lost your virginity in your 20s. Like, it, don't come out your house for nothing. Just stay and pray. Stay and pray. That's it. Just stay and pray. Don't come out in the street looking for nothing. Ain't nothing out in the streets for y'all. Nothing in the streets for y'all. Okay? I just want to let you know that. Because if I could do it all over again, I would have been minding my business. I would have stayed in the house. I tell you, because like, sexual sin is so hard to break off, because one, God made sex. He made sex. See, people don't want to have these conversations, and that's the problem with the church. The church doesn't want to have these conversations, and you put a taboo on sex. How you going to put a taboo on sex when God made sex? I'm not talking about you get up in a pulpit and you talk about like sex in a derogatory way or whatever. No, what I'm saying is, like, if you don't have these conversations, like in your women's group or your men's group, then how you gonna teach the children who need to hear it? The adults need to hear it. The older adults need to hear it, because sometimes these older adults think because they done had their kids and everybody out the house and they're older, they may be widowed or something, that they can just go running the streets. No, God still requires holiness, even though you like 70 something years old. You can't be out here just all willy nilly participating in malarkey. Yeah. It ain't just for the young people. It's for you too. I mean, it's seriously, like, you can't, I'm pretty, I feel that heavy. It's somebody listening. You think because you're older, you get a pass to sin. No, you don't get a pass to sin. First of all, let's just be honest. You're older. Your time may be a little bit shorter than other people. I ain't trying to say anything, but I'm saying it. You better make sure you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. Let's do that there. I mean, it's appointed unto man to die once. Okay? You got an appointment. Everybody does. The very hairs on our head are numbered. We have a number. Our number comes up. We don't know when that is. That's the one thing. We're all guaranteed to die. Don't be out here playing in these streets just because you older and you feel like you already done lived your life. So you did everything that you were supposed to do. So now you get to play. No, you don't get to play at all. I'm going to tell you some of the best lessons I have learned came from my elders. And seeing them do it right after all the years. They may have had mess ups. They may have lived crazy when they were younger, but to see them get it right and walk strong in the Lord in their old age and be faithful and consistent as they have gotten older, let me tell you something, that give me something to look forward to, because it's ghetto here in the late 30s. The late 30s is ghetto, okay? Especially when you are single. It's ghetto because it's like, man, what in the world is happening? This is not how I plan my life. It doesn't matter how I plan my life. All that matters is that God gets the glory and that his plan for my life is fulfilled. That's all that matters, to be honest. I say that now and then I'll probably be crying in a couple of hours. Like, oh, what is that? But it'll be okay. It'll be okay. I go through that once in a while. But the best examples I have had in my life are the older saints who are doing it the right way. They don't go, oh, that's just for y'all younger kids to make sure y'all don't mess your life up. I done lived my life. No, no, no. He requires holiness. The Lord requires holiness. It doesn't matter how old you are. Well, how seasoned you are. I don't like to say old. How seasoned you are. It doesn't matter. He requires holiness. Okay? So, with Lot's wife, like I said, if we always question, why did she look back when the Lord told, but why do you look back? Why do you want to try to go back around the mountain after he told you to get out the mountain? He done kicked you out the mountain. The mountain was for a season. You had to go through that for a season. You had to look like that for a season. You thought like that for a season. You can't think like that no more. It's over with. That season is over with. You can't go back to that. You can't go back to that. He said, you've been going in circles long enough. It's time to come out. Come out. Woof. It's a new season. It's a new season for you. Ooh. Okay. Okay. Before I get off of this, let me just say this. It's a new season. I don't know what the Lord is doing. My friend and I were talking about this yesterday. It is a new season. I firmly believe in my heart the Lord is doing something with, because we're going into the sixth month of the year. Honestly, we're at the halfway point. I believe after June, if you hadn't already felt this, if you hadn't already been seeing things, I honestly believe when we start July 1st, 2024, a shift has already been taking place, to be honest. There has already been a shift. But I firmly believe that we're going to see what the shift was about in July. And I also believe before the end of the year, you're going to see something happen in your life. If you are walking faithfully with the Lord, if you haven't been walking faithfully with the Lord, then it is time for you to get out of the mountain and go north. Like, you have been going around in circles. You have been repeating. You have been falling, slipping and sliding in the same places. And you know, and the thing is, you walk this way so many times. How are you still slipping and sliding? You know exactly where not to step, but you continually step in the same spot that tripped you up the last time. It is time to get out of this mountain. You have left marks where marks should not have been left. It is time for you to get out of this mountain and go into new territory. And if you stay in this mountain, the mountain is going to fall on you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is trying to get you out of the mountain before the mountain starts to crumble. And many times when the Lord tells us to do something, we drag our feet. We don't want to move when he says to move. So he has to let things topple. He has to let things start to fall apart around us in order to get us to move. And it shouldn't have to take that for some of you, because you have been walking with him for a while now. You should know when he tells you to move that you need to move, but you have been disobedient and you have been dragging your feet when he told you to run. You have been walking and he said, it's time for you to get out this mountain, because if you don't get out the mountain, he's going to allow the mountain to fall on you. Woo! And that's all I have. Stop going in circles. There is an urgency I feel. I feel an urgency. Stop going in circles with this sin that you have been in. It is over. It is time to get up out of that bed with that woman. Get up out of that bed with that man. Get up out of that business deal. Don't do business with that person anymore. Don't do business. You already know that person is a crook. Let me tell you real quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for letting me say this. Let me tell you real quick. My students just finished, before school was out, we read the play A Raisin in the Sun. And if you hadn't read the play or seen the movie with Sir Sidney Poitier, I highly recommend you do. But basically, it's a spoiler alert here, okay? The protagonist, he shared information with people he thought were his friends. And they were supposed to go into business. Now his wife, his mom, sister, they were all against it and stuff like that. But he still went into business. He put some money into their business, quote unquote business deal. Well, they were in the middle of doing something at his house. And one of the guys that he went into the business deal showed up. The guy tells him that the other dude that they were supposed to go into business with ran off with the money. Okay. And the key words that this guy shows up and tells him that he says Willie ran off with the money. But Bobo, the one who showed up at the door, he says it wasn't as much as we told you. And I told my students, I said, this is what happened. Willie and Bobo teamed up together to hustle Walter. But what Bobo didn't realize is that Willie hustled him too. So Willie ran off with Walter and Bobo's money. Bobo thought they were just going to run off with Walter's money, but Bobo didn't realize he got hustled. And see, that's the thing. We're going to focus on Bobo right now. You know the person that you are doing business with is no good. Person's a snake. They're a hustler. You know that. And you've seen them. I don't know who this is for. But you've seen this person take money from people that you call friend. And you've seen them. And you keep going in the back of your mind, they won't do that to me. They wouldn't do that to me because I know too much. Let me tell you something. What business does light have to do with darkness? Evil communication corrupts good manner. Come out from among them and be ye separate. That is what the Bible says. If you continue to run with these people or that person, you're going to see it's going to be worse for you because you saw them doing it and you let them do it. And you knew you weren't supposed to let, you knew you were supposed to say something. You knew it. And you continue to stand by and watch them do that stuff. And just because you didn't do it yourself doesn't mean that you aren't as equally as guilty as them. You are just as much guilty, if not more. You better come out from among them and be ye separate. It's time for you to move. If you move now, you will have some grace to cover you when everything hits the fan. But if you don't move right now, when they go down, you going down with them and you going to go down further. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who that is for. But get out of that situation in the name of Jesus. Get out of it in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, get out of that. You've been going in that circle. You've been in that cycle with them. You better break every soul tie you have with that person. Because see, a soul tie doesn't have to do with just sex and intimacy. A soul tie, you can have a soul tie to your best friend. You have soul tie to your mother, to your father, to your sisters, your brother. Those are soul ties. You better break the soul tie and get away from that person. I'm telling you, don't even tell them that you're leaving. Because see, some of you, whoever it is, you feel like you got to do a whole production of saying goodbye. Just leave. Don't even say anything. Put them on block. That's the thing. That's probably what Lot's wife turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. She was probably like, I didn't get to say goodbye to someone. Sometimes you got to just leave without saying goodbye. Woo! I don't know who that's for. But that's for somebody. You are in a... Oof. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You better get out. Get out while you still can. And let me tell you something. You got a window, and windows aren't as big as doors. Windows are not as big as doors. So that means you have a small amount of time and you better get out of there. The Lord will let you clean escape it if you leave now. He'll let you clean escape it if you leave now. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to make the decision right now because you're listening and you're all hyped up about it. You're going to make the decision to leave. But after a day or two, your heart going to go, well, I didn't get to. You better stand firm. You better load up on this word and stand firm. Make your election sure. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Thank you, Jesus. You better stand firm on the word of God. Don't be indecisive. Don't be like the man who goes to God asking for something and then you got doubts and stuff and your faith is wavering like the waves of the sea. You better stand firm on the word of God and you better trust that God is telling you you need to get out of that situation and he's going to cover you. But if you don't leave now, everything's going to fall on your head. It's going to fall right on your head. I can see it. Get out of that situation. I got to get off of here. So that's all I have this week. I got to get off of here because this is when the Holy Spirit show up, y'all, when the Holy Spirit shows up, thank you, Jesus, because this word is for me too. It's for me too. It's time to stop playing games with the Lord. It's time to stop going back into stuff when he already told us to get out of the mountain. He put us in the mountain to break some things off of us. We had to go through that season to get things broken off of us. And of course we went through some stuff that we put ourselves into and he had to work on us and things, but now he's ready to put us into a different season. He's ready to put us in a different path. And we can't go and take that journey if we keep trying to walk around this mountain. It's time to get out the mountain. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of walking around in circles. I'm ready. I'm tired of going through the same thing every month with my finances. I'm tired of going through the same thing every time I meet a new guy. It's like, oh, it's the same dialogue. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to turn north. I'm ready to go north. Okay, I come past this mountain this season long enough. I'm ready to move north. So if you ready to move north, I highly suggest you spend some time this week in your word. If you hadn't already been doing so, don't just rely on what you get here or what you get in church. You need to dig for yourself. You need to spend some time with the Lord. You need to seek his face. Get up earlier than you usually do, you know, and just sit with him. Meditate on his word. And just let it soak in so you can hear clearly what his instructions are for you. Because I promise you, I hear the Holy Spirit saying it is going to be this year going to close out. It's going to close out with a bang. It is. I don't know what that means. Literally, I don't know what that means for you, but it could be a good one or it could be a bad one. I don't know what that means for you, but all I know is, we're going to start seeing some stuff on the latter half of this year, on the back half of this year. If you were fighting and struggling like I was at the beginning of this year, you're going to see some stuff turn around for you before the year is over with. Probably in before July is over with. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that means for me. I just know it has been a shifting. I've been feeling that since we started this year. It was already like a shifting going on. You may have slipped, you may have fallen, you may have gone back to something. I urge you, I am just encouraging you to leave it alone. Don't touch it no more. Just keep going. Just get out the mountain and go north. Follow the Lord. And that's, I'm going to tell you, there was a scripture I ran into this week. Okay, the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. I got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think it's in John. I'm not going to be able to find it. Oh, there it is. John chapter 1, verse 43. It says the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Here's what caught my eye. It says the day following Jesus. It didn't say the following day. Because how it's supposed to read is the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee. But the comma comes after Galilee. I would have thought it would have been sooner. Like if it would have say the following day, comma, Jesus would go forth. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't say that. The comma comes all the way after Galilee. So it sounds like when you're reading it, the day following Jesus. Make your day follow Jesus. Every day this week, make your day follow Jesus. Get up in the morning. Don't look at your phone. Get your Bible. And set your day to follow Jesus. That's all I got. Set your day to follow Jesus. When you set your day to follow Jesus, he's going to show you things that you didn't know. He's gonna show up in ways for you that you couldn't imagine. When you purposely set your day to follow Jesus. I mean, that's all I got. I don't have nothing else. That's all I have. So that I'm going to leave with y'all on that. I'm going to leave that right there. And I hope y'all have a blessed week. And just keep praying. Keep trusting God with your life. And I love y'all. Shouts out to Miss Lorraine and Darian, who delivered an awesome word to me and my mother while we were eating breakfast the other morning. I can't remember her last name, but she's in McIntosh County, Georgia, Darian, Georgia. We ran into her. Awesome woman of God. Praise God for her. Shouts out to all of the places, locations who are tuning in. I just thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing this podcast. Continue to share it so others can experience what you experience when you listen. Because you obviously are experiencing the power of God. That's why you show up every single week. So praise God for that. And I ask that he just continue to move on your hearts and continues to keep you and bless you. All right. Love y'all. And I will talk to y'all later. Bye.